Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, goodness gracious me. We are here. Judith and I are with you. Hello, good day, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever. It's Jenny and Judith here, older and wider. Very happy to be able to bring you another podcast. Thanks to Daisy's incredible patience. I'm not saying that getting this one together initially has been easy. Judith, what happened to you this morning?
Hello, everybody. Well, it hasn't been as bad as it has been in the past, has it? But we've had quite a bad 15 minutes or so with me rushing up and down the garden trying to find the attachment to my headphones, which actually I didn't need.
You refer to as the fiddly little white thing.
Oh, yeah. It was annoying, isn't it? Because, you know, you have to get that thing, don't you, that connects the old connection to everything for your headphones onto the new iPhone.
Oh, and that's too much for us.
They changed it, didn't they? The bastards.
The shitters.
You can't. That's right. You either have to go Bluetooth, which in my book always leads to misery.
Oh, I've never even tried it, Judith.
Haven't you?
No.
It never works. Never bloody works.
As soon as anybody says Bluetooth to me, in my head there's this tune that says, la, 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 not listening, Bluetooth, la, 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 la. That's that. I'm so glad to hear your voice anyway. So we are here. We're connected. And listen, I just need to grill you over something.
God, what? Oh,
you know,
hell,
like
what?
Last week. Yeah, you're in trouble, lady. You're in such
in
big
trouble.
No, you're not, but you need to explain something to me, please.
Oh, God.
I listened in on a catch-up thing on sounds, because you can, BBC Wales, and you did the Allard Jones programme where...
Yes,
you did. And you choose... How many songs was it? It's like Desert Island Discs.
Well, you did it. And the producer of it, Lynn Rosser, obviously likes Older and Wider. That's how I snuck under the radar, let's face it. And by God, the introduction made me sound really important, didn't it?
I know. I was listening and thinking, what? My mate Judith?
Oh, it's no, the wrong episode.
Because I know all this. I know. I mean, the thing is, I think that sometimes our Older and Wider listeners don't realise what a huge past you had before we got together on Grumpy.
Well, that's very sweet of you, but yes, I did quite a lot of television, really.
And in your early days as a fledgling producer, when you were, I think, a runner, you turned down Clint Eastwood. Now, I need this story. You kind of skimmed over it on Alan's show.
Well, how funny that I never told you about that. Yes. I was a television producer and researcher. I was never a runner. No, I had to be a PA first. I had to do shorthand and typing. And start as a PA.
Can you still do shorthand, or has that completely gone?
I can do one or two things. Like, information is just like a big U. And sometimes it's really useful if you're trying to write something down quickly. But I'm not very good at it. I was never very good at reading it back, you know, because that, you know, the usual kind of fairly shoddy attention to detail. but I can touch type. How useful is it being able to type? That's the cleverest thing I can do in life.
Honestly, watching Jeff type. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Mike's the same.
It's like watching... No, because Mike's got slim hands. He's got piano playing hands. Jeff's hands are like... Well, you know, they're like a bear. No, he's got paws. He hasn't actually got hands.
Yes,
and it's like sausages having a go at technology. It's like 10 sausages just plonking along the keyboard. So, now, let's get back to you and Clint Eastwood, please.
Yes.
I think are thinking, no, get back to Clint Eastwood, please.
Yeah, I need to get back to that job. So, listen, in the 1980s, I had this amazing job where I was a researcher at LWT, and we did all the chat shows. You know, we did Aspel and Company, and we did Clive James, and we did Dame Edna, all these big sort of chat shows, but particularly the Aspel show. masses of money in those days in telly. Yeah. And we, you know, we used to fly people over on Concorde, and then they would stay in the Savoy for a week, you know, to do just to do the gig on Aspel. Masses
it's not
money.
The same anymore.
It's not the same anymore.
Especially in lockdown,
God.
You're filming yourself on an iPhone,
yes.
sending it in.
Oh, well, but yes, so there's lots of money sloshing around. So basically, what would happen is that every researcher was allocated a guest of the week. And it was your job that week to research them. You know, sometimes we had to go to the London Library because it was before all that, you know,
oh, yeah.
The internet and everything. It was full of people who were, you know, gorgeous and obviously all been to Oxbridge and very, very bright. And then there was me, and I was kind of increasingly allocated the sort of Paul Shanes of Heidi High of this world. Do you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
The kind of comedians, the kind of, often with a common touch, I think.
The end of the pier.
The end of the pier, yeah, I always got them. So, you know, I got the occasional kind of, you know, Elliot Gould. God, I remember him arriving on Concorde.
He was gorgeous,
once.
Though.
Well, he was gorgeous, but he was a bit worse for wear when he got off Concorde, I can tell you, and okay. I got in the car with him. Yeah. There was a lot of worry about how the celebrity would be on the night. Yeah. And it was our job, not only to research them, you see, to get the interview mapped out for the presenter, but also to kind of keep an eye on them for the week.
Stop them getting pissed.
Stop them getting pissed or worse. Yeah. So that was all quite demanding. Anyway, one week I got given Clint Eastwood. And
gosh, Judith.
Yeah, I know. Are you impressed? So I had to, maybe, oh, it's all coming back to me. So it fell over one Christmas. I had to watch all Clint Eastwood's movies. It was quite a big deal. You know, he was on the show. So I got on the, I was flown to Paris, you know, a couple of days in Paris. Anyway, we got on terribly well and he was really charming. It was absolutely charming and, I have to say, gorgeous eyes. I mean, I do remember
piercing,
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very blue, or turquoise. So anyway, at the end of it, we got on really well and everything, you know. And sort of saying goodbyes and everything, so see you later in the week, at the, you know, for the show. And he said, Judith, would you like to join me for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Do you know what I said? Do you know, well, you do know what I said, because I said it on the LHS session. Well, I don't think I can, because I'm going out with somebody.
I'm going out with somebody. I've got a boyfriend. Who were you going out with? Was it Mike? Was it worth,
no,
you know,
no,
giving up?
Mike. No, no, I was going out with David Kitson, I remember. And
God, how do you remember?
Well,
your
out
memory
David
is really good.
Yeah, okay, it's okay. Yeah, anyway. But it's not a bad, you know, sort of close shave, is it? As close shaves go, it's quite a good one, I feel.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, it's better than, I mean, it's a good turn down. I mean, there's another one on your list, Freddie Starr. Did you turn down Freddie Starr?
As I said, though, you know, I definitely was the Paul Shane sort of. Oh, do you remember that name? Like the guy Geoffrey Hughes that played Eddie Yates in Coronation Street.
Yeah. He had the hots for you, did he? Eddie
Yates.
He had
the hots for me, yeah. And I think, you know, I think I could have, I could have been well placed with Paul Shane.
Hey, did you hear the news this morning? Because we record this podcast on a Wednesday morning. Boris has just had the baby. Well,
you are joking. You are joking. No, I haven't heard that news.
Yes. Well, I've broken it to you now, Judith.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I didn't get there first. There were quite a few other people knew this before me. Now, I didn't have a direct line, but she went to hospital. She had it in a hospital, a London hospital.
Oh.
I would say probably a private wing somewhere. But guess what it is, girl or boy? What are you going to guess?
Boy.
So boy, yeah. I mean, you know, yes, they've had a boy. It was sort of obvious.
Oh, and
anyway.
So was that early? Was that sort of sooner than expected?
Well, I don't know because I've not
I
been,
think it
you
is.
Know. Yeah, well, I mean, he had to get better.
Well, he did, didn't he? God,
oh God! I mean, that was such a kind of mental scenario when you think about it. When
I know.
Poor young woman. I mean, you know, we'll leave aside, you know, the horrors of the government and everything like that. But the actual story, as a, you know, if you were writing it as a piece of fiction.
Yeah, I know.
It is mental, isn't it? Now, the weather's broken. That's making this more difficult to deal with.
Oh, isn't it just, Jenny?
Yes.
Yesterday was the first time. I felt a bit like I used to feel on caravan holidays when it was raining when I was little. Kind of looking out of the window and thinking, I can't go and play. I just can't go and play. There's nothing to do. Well,
and especially for you, Judith, because, you know, I always think you're a bit of a Labrador. You like to get out. You like to stretch your legs.
I like to run for
a ball. And I did think of you yesterday, thinking, oh, Judith won't be able to get out in the fresh air.
No,
I of course,
yeah,
loving
it. Were you? Well, because it gave you an excuse for not having to go out.
Yeah, Well, I went out, oh, Judith, yesterday, right. Well, for starters, it was raining, but Tuesday I have to go to the supermarket because that's my in my schedule. And if I don't keep to my schedules, we all go mad.
Oh, yes.
So I go, and it's Sainsbury's down the road because that's the only one, it's my nearest. And anyway, and Jeff drives me down, but because he's, a bit old, he's not allowed out of the car. So I have to, and yesterday raining, I mean, it's the first time in lockdown I've had to queue to get into the supermarket in the pissing rain.
God. Yeah, that can't
so
be much
I've
fun.
Got, I've got my trolley and it's not been wiped because I haven't got it from the shop entrance. I've just got it from one of the trolley parks, but I'm wearing gloves. But immediately I think, well, this handle is covered in corona. Absolutely.
Yes, of course you do.
Loaded.
You have to keep remembering. So, but I'm gloves, handle, germs, I've got, gloves, handle, germs.
I've got my gloves on. I think, shit, I haven't got my mask on.
Oh, my God.
Well,
Jenny.
Yes, right. So how am I going to do this manoeuvre when I've now got corona gloves, but I want to put my mask on?
Yes.
Fortunately, I had another pair of gloves, surgical gloves, in my handbag. So I was able to peel off the corona gloves.
And discard them, presumably.
Discard them immediately, yes.
Oh, yes.
Discarded them. And then I put the other gloves on, the clean gloves on. And then before touching the trolley, the corona trolley, I put the mask. Oh, I was absolutely... And all this time I was doing this, I'd left my shopping list just in the trolley in the pissing rain. So by the time I got in, it was just, you know when you used to cheat in exams and you used to write things up your arm and then because you'd get in a sweat and then it would just run, or you'd have something written on your thigh and then your thighs would rub together. And then you'd sort of try and cheat in the exam, you'd just see all this smudged blue ink. It was like that. And so I just, again, I just went round the supermarket at a sort of trot. And it was much, much better than last week, actually. I think they might have had their knuckles wrapped because there was a lot of stuff last week on the news about how supermarkets were kind of letting in too many people and people weren't social distancing. Yeah. So it was a much, much easier shopping trip. Apart from the fact I just had this blur of a list and I managed to spend over 150 quid and I have no idea what on. And then when I got to the till... they started doing the announcements about the minute silence, for the key workers who died. Yes. And it was, because I was in the supermarket and they're key workers and they're keeping us all going, I found it incredibly touching, actually.
Yeah.
The fact that everybody in this... But there was a woman in the queue behind me, Judith. And as the tannoy announced, we'll be beginning our minute silence in just a few seconds, she's continued to offload her trolley onto the belt because I was ready to pay and I just stopped and I gave her the filthiest look that I possibly could from behind a mask, which is very difficult. I just, because I wear glasses as well, which have steamed up.
Yes,
I'm not sure
subtle.
That I'm actually really, it's really subtle, but fortunately...
It'd have to be all the eyebrows, wouldn't it? You'd have to all be
in the
eyebrows.
Yeah. Mm. And mine aren't great. This is why young women, obviously, I might resort to the Liverpool brow just so I've got some expression
brows.
In my face. The Scouser
brows. Good idea.
But fortunately, the girl on the till just held her hand up very quietly, held up, a surgical gloved hand, and she just said, shook her head at this woman. And the woman just took the last thing she'd put on the belt and she threw it back in her trolley.
You are joking.
So rude. So, and then anyway, that's exactly where the minute silence started. And I just turned my back and, because that's what you do. You turn your back, you bow your head, you have your own private thought, don't you? You don't continue doing physical things and just
Jenny,
keep quiet.
That's
yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So, I'm surprised you didn't use the sergeant major, but I suppose, no, you couldn't really at
you
that
can't,
moment.
Not
could you?
That,
no,
not
no. Not the right
not
tool.
Even I would like to break the minute silence with a, would you just mind, please, for a minute, please, we'll have a little bit of respect here. We shall have the minute silence. It started a couple of seconds ago, but I'm telling you now to start it now. In fact, everybody, we're going to have 10 more seconds because of this woman. And if anyone else starts doing anything silly, we'll keep going for another 5. Do you understand me? Huh? There you go. I enjoy the Sergeant Major.
Oh,
it's
we
like
all
my
do.
My dad's back in the house.
But they're saying now, aren't they, that the supermarkets are actually more... So I don't mean to worry you, but kind of a more dangerous than the hospitals. I mean, it's like, it's now a really sort of nerve-wracking experience.
But, I would be so angry, Judith. I would be so angry if that was my cause of death, of going to the supermarket to get some eggs. You know, because it's because I used to have an old stand-up line that, you know, sort of talking about death, and it said I'd rather choke to death on Brad Pitt. And really, there's no way to go, is it? There's no way to go. You know, cause of death, Sainsbury's, hell.
No, buying some dishwasher salt. I mean, you know, not even anything interesting.
That would be really bad.
Yeah, it really would be bad. But, you know, when you come back with it all, are you, I mean, because my cousin apparently leaves it unwrapped, you know, anything that she can, that she doesn't have to go in the fridge, she leaves for 72 hours at the front door, and then she's taking everything. So are you unwrapping it and washing the stuff inside, or what?
I've heard there are people that are doing this kind you know, uber cautious thing. And I realised that a little bit sloppy, Judith. I mean, you say that you're a bit shoddy in some of the things that you do, but I don't think you're grubby like me.
No.
You know, I've never been a surface bleacher, have I? You know me, I'm dirty. I'm domestically dirty. I am. And I've just realised...
I can vouch for this. You've got redeeming qualities, but I can vouch for this, yes.
You know, I'm grubby around the edges and I don't clean under the fridge and my salad tray is disgusting. And, you know, there are people who, you know, have got rubber gloves on now who'll be itching to come around my house and just do some cleaning.
I have to say,
I realise that I keep doing is keep getting parcels and I keep putting them on the kitchen surface and then not wiping down.
Oh, my God, yes. Because apparently it's all on the bottom of the bags. I read somewhere that all the germs, most of the germs, are on the bottom of people's shopping bags because they all go on that the end of that thing where you pay your money, don't they? So you mustn't put your bags on the surfaces either. It's a minefield, though, isn't it? I mean, it is. It's like you and your mask and your gloves, two pairs of gloves. It is. It's just completely fucking bonkers. It is.
It's difficult. It really, really is. Is there anything you're still enjoying?
Oh, yeah, well, yes, I am. Of course, yes, I am, particularly when the weather's okay. No, I'm enjoying... I tell you what I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying the routine of it. I think I have now got quite a nice sort of daily routine. And when it gets interrupted, it's really quite serious.
Like what's the routine? What's is this a daily routine?
It's a daily routine, yes. Mike and I have coffee at 10:30 in the nice coffee cups. I might have told you that before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do a bit all my jobs in the morning and then I leave my painting and my gardening for the afternoon. That's all quite nice. And then I culminate, you see, in the Evan Davis's sort of PM thing, you know, where they come out. Chris Whitty comes out with his, with whoever it is and their charts and everything. I listen to that on the radio. I'm doing a bit of art or a bit of sewing. And it's quite a nice routine, that is. And then I'm on the sofa with a glass of wine by 9 o'clock for, you know. So, and it's, you know, I think I realise I need more routine in my life, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm similar, but not quite. And Jeff and I have got no nice cups. Well, we've got quite nice mugs, but we don't have cups. Right. We don't have cups and saucers. Are you doing saucers, Judith?
Yeah, we've got two very new, like those Parisian coffee cups that have a bit of gold round. Can you picture them in sort of Parisian cafes? We've got a pair of those in dark green with gold round. We never use them, and we've started to use them in lockdown. Mad. Anyway, yeah, go on.
And how are you getting on this week, you and Mike? Because Jeff and I had a niggly day. I had a niggly day the other day. What happened? I burnt my hand getting something out of the oven. And I went, oh, bloody hell, how? And Jeff said, oh, what's happened? What's happened? I said, oh, you don't care. And he said, fuck off. And I said, no, you fuck off. And it was just one of those kind of little, you know, we just had a little spat over nothing. Just, fuck off.
Oh, it doesn't sound too bad. It doesn't sound as bad
I might have forgotten on purpose to get him his Liam Perrin. The only thing he hasn't managed to buy in massive catering size things.
Oh, well, can you imagine how long that would last? A massive thing in Liam Perrin's.
He'd be swinging it out the bottle, Judith. He really would. I'd come into the kitchen and I'd, like a teat, he'd have it in his mouth. He'd be taking it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, listen, wildlife, just want to catch up on wildlife stories, because last week it was the fox that came in and took my shoe. Well, I didn't realise this, Judith, but last week, at the tail end of last week, a pigeon came into our house.
What?
A big fat pigeon, you know, dirty, filthy, fucking feral London pigeon. I'm sorry, I can't be doing them. They're thick. Pigeons are thick. They're dirty and thick.
Yes,
and it came in our house, and because it's dirty and thick, shat on the, well, you know, we're all open plan, so it was between the kitchen and the back sitting room.
And did you see it coming?
There.
Did
well,
you
I didn't
it
see it. No, Jeff was aware of it. Jeff handled this one. Of course, he didn't really wipe it up. He didn't. You know, he probably did it with the dishcloth.
Yes, that's exactly the sort of thing that Mike would have done. Yeah, go on.
He wouldn't have done that. But anyway, when I realised that even I thought a house was looking dirty, on Monday, I thought, I've got to mop this bloody floor, because, you know, so it's lino, it's like rubber lino flooring, so it's sort of, you hoover first. And anyway, I was mopping, and I moved sort of the bean bag, and there was that pigeon hadn't shat once, it had shat twice.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of it, I should think, isn't
well,
pigeons?
I'll tell you
they
why there's quite a lot of it, Judith, because Jeff had made some sourdough.
Oh, yes, I saw a picture of that on Instagram.
Yeah, I made some sourdough. It was fine, but it was quite heavy bread. It's quite a heavy bread. And I am connecting these two cases. I think that Jeff made the sourdough. We threw some out, right? The pigeon ate quite a big chunk of sourdough.
That
was too heavy to fly. Too heavy to fly because of the sourdough.
Yes.
Came waddling in our house, shat up twice, shat the sourdough out in two great dollops.
Yes.
Then kicked the beanbag over one of the shits so we wouldn't see it, and then waddled out. Honestly,
I can see where you're coming from. I think, as we all know, I mean, women of our age, we are bloody good at this sort of detective work, and I think, you know, that's an excellent line of detection, if that's the right word.
Yeah, and I put it on Twitter that I'd had the pigeon shit, and Janet Ellis, she said that a robin had come into her study and shat all over her desk. And I said to her, I'd rather have robin shit than pigeon shit, wouldn't you?
Totally agree with you. I can't actually believe that robins would do that. They're so beautiful. I'm not buying that, Janet Ellis. Definitely not. It's interesting, isn't it, that your line of detection work there concluded, ended with, basically it being Jeff's fault.
Listen, if you go around in a big circle with anything, Judith, with anything that happens in our life, if you make the circle big enough,
then it
always goes back to that. Now, listen, before we forget, did you ever find the weeder?
Well, you see, that's another line of detection, isn't it? Because it's keeping me awake at night. I thought, do you know that weed? It's got to be there. How could it be anywhere else? It's got to be there. So out I would go with the trowel. Out I'd go with the, you know, the kind of...
Were you doing a sort of fingertip search? Were you doing it like, you know, when you see teams of detectives crawling over fields? Were you on your hands and knees?
No, but that was in reserve. I was getting to that stage. So I took out the, what do you call those things? Those long things with forks on the end. I forgot my
name. A rake.
Anyway. A rake. So
my brother Billy had a 10-foot willy. He showed it to the girl next door. She thought it was a snake and she cut it with a rake, and now it's only 5'4". Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Oh, that's the only poem I know. You know, like in lockdown, people were going, oh, poetry gives me so much comfort. That is the only poem that I can remember. I mean, I used to be a poet. I can't remember any of my own. That one I remember.
That's a shame.
Anyway, so go on. So you had
I took the rake out and basically I started where I last saw it. You know that thing where people say, where did you last see it? Actually, I did take that bit of advice because it's normally pointless. And I raked over all of the kind of the places where he'd been weeding, or tucked right under, you know, all the bits of lawn that were sticking out. Didn't just have a perfunctory look. I had a really thorough look. Right at the end of the bed, it touched a bit of metal and there it was.
Oh, God, it must have been like finding a ruby in the dust.
I can't tell you how thrilled I was. Of course, I was completely triumphant because I now know for sure that he lost it, don't I? But anyway, I made him sent off for another one, express delivery.
I think you should mark them up, though, Judith. I think you need a marker pen and put a J on yours and an M on Mike's.
Yeah. I'm going to hide them. What do you mean I'm going to put a marker? You don't have either of them.
Now, food. We talked about Jeff Sourdough. Now, you told me that you're making a list of all your meals. Do you mean sort of it's a meal planner or you're listing everything you've had?
I list everything that I've had in my head all the time, obviously. Don't you, before you go to sleep? Don't you do that?
No.
Do you not? Oh, I do. I kind of review it all. I kind of relive it all.
And retaste it?
Well, sort of in my head, yeah. I just go through it. I think, oh, that was nice.
I sort of know what you mean, yes. I project forward more rather than think about what I've had. Yeah. I think sometimes, and then tomorrow I've got that quiche.
It's a little highlight I can look forward to. Yeah. So now I found myself writing a list of, because I'm still on this bit of a mission to eat up the freezer, which now needs defrosting, a bit of a clean start. So, I started doing, Tuesday, I don't have that, Wednesday, this. Oh, no, that'll work better there. And I got a list by the phone. That is really, really tragic. And do you know what? In normality, that I would have said to myself, basically, you need to get out more. That's basically what
I think
list says.
In normality, you'd have said, keep the list, but hide it so nobody sees it. No, even I do this because, you buy this stuff and we've discussed the fact I don't have a proper chest freezer or anything like this. So I do make a list of all the meat I bought with the sell-by dates on it.
Oh, that's very impressive.
Well, I'm not wasting anything, Judith. I'm not.
No.
So, I've got chicken, 2nd of May, bacon, makes me feel
makes you feel in control
and a bit like, who is the woman that did the cookery book? Mrs. Beaton, I feel.
Yes.
Because I tell you what, I'm as fat as Mrs. Beaton. I'm fucking fat.
We're all putting on weight, I tell you.
Yeah.
I saw your courgette soup that you'd made on Instagram.
1.5 courgettes, enough for soup for two, easily.
Very
courgettes.
Nice.
1.5 Very courgettes, nice. An onion and a potato.
Is that all?
Bit of stock. Yeah, I'm quite a naturally good soup maker, I think, because I've got it from my mother. It's an inherited gene. And my mother has always been a very good soup maker. And she's still making her own soup, but she's bored. She's so bored of cooking and sort of having to look after herself. So I sent her some gin and a box of tonics.
Oh, nice.
A box of tonics in little tins. And honestly, she was so delighted. She was so thrilled because she's allowed a cleaner once a week who does her shopping and... she hasn't liked to ask the cleaner for alcohol.
Oh, so, hasn't she?
No. She says, for starters, it's heavy. And she doesn't want the cleaner to realise that, how much she likes a drink. So, she was delighted with her little gift.
I thought,
I could have sent her some cakes and stuff like that from Betty's Tea Rooms and all that. I thought, what does my mum really want? I thought, what she wants is a really massive bottle of good quality gin. So... Judith, we were talking about schedules, weekly schedule and all that kind of thing. Well, the one thing that's become the Sunday highlight of the week is the family quiz. I told you about the quiz.
Yes, you told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was become a little bit elaborate and a bit mental, obviously, because, my family are uncontrollable. And this week it was the turn of my brother and his family in Tunbridge Wells. And it was a good quiz, actually, Judith. It was a good quiz. My brother
got a little bit... So they set the questions? They set the questions?
Yeah, it was a bit hard in places. But then my nephew did a quiz for the oldies, which was all ABBA song titles done in emojis. Yes.
What do you mean in emojis?
Well, emojis...
Yeah, kind of.
So, you know, you have like water, so you have a wave, and then you have a an emoji of a loo, so that's Waterloo.
That's clever.
And then you have, you know, money, money, money is three, you know, dollar signs or whatever.
Very good.
I can only remember the easy ones because I couldn't get the tricky ones. But yeah, he managed to get Tigatita or whatever. Yeah, dancing queen, got them all, yeah.
Oh,
so that's a Spanish
good.
Dancer and a crown, you see. It's dead easy. They've let us, you know, you called it seizing the reins last week.
Yes,
they've let
us
seize the reins for this week.
Yeah, take pity, haven't they?
Yeah, so I'm compiling questions. I'm safe to say this now because, you know, my family don't listen to the podcast, obviously.
Yeah, of course they do. No, best things to do.
Because they're absolutely, you know, enjoying the break from me, to be quite honest. So I'm compiling the quiz questions and... I've got some quite good legal ones. What was the name of Lord Lucan's nanny? Can you donate a question for me?
Yes, I can.
There's another one I'm going to just run by you. Because they've got to be sort of doable, haven't they?
Yes,
what was the name of the last woman
to
hang? Can you remember her?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because that was a film as well. Do you remember? That was good.
Was it an Ellis, actually?
Yes, it was. Was that her surname? Yes, yes, it was.
Mary Ellis?
No, but I'd give you half a point for the Ellis. You're doing well, Judith. You might get called upon next time we have the reins taken off us. Yeah.
Yeah, could have that, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could just be our Zoom phone a friend. Anyway, listen, I've got to put the quiz away. I can't give all these questions away.
No,
because...
They might listen.
This podcast comes out before the quiz. I've not thought this through.
That was a tactical error, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Anyway, what have you got lined up for the rest of the week?
I've got online art tomorrow. We had our first online art class because obviously we can't go into the college. So basically he does a little kind of lesson on YouTube. So you watch him do it on YouTube. Yeah. Mind you, this week he has rather put his head in way of the camera, which is a bit annoying. But anyway, so he's done a palette knife. And so he's emailed us this kind of photo and it's oil palette thing. So he does that. And then in real time, you obviously do, you know, you do your own. Mind you, I think some people have probably done a bit of work.
A little bit of here's one I did before. Yeah.
Thinking about it, actually.
Yeah. Here's one I cut out of a magazine. Here's a,
And so you do it in real time and then you hold it up to your, you know, to the laptop. And he says, well, yes, that's okay. I think you should look about this, look at that. The nice thing is I had a packet of Maltesers on the go on the slide this last week. So that was quite, I wouldn't have been able to do that, would I? If it was the real thing.
People would have been going, shh, Judith, shh, can you stop?
Yeah,
your Maltese crunching is putting me off.
And you can slope off when you've had enough, can't you? Have you done anything online like this yet?
No, not yet. I do my yoga online. That's just, but I've been doing that for years. And telly-wise, now I've got some tips for you. So I hope you've got a pen and paper ready.
Yes.
Have you seen Unorthodox on Netflix?
Actually, we are watching that at the moment. That's a coincidence.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, my God, it's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
Really,
you tell them what it's about. Tell the gang what it's about.
Well, basically, it's based on a true story about a 19-year-old woman who runs away from a very uber-Orthodox Jewish community in Williamsburg, which is in America, and she runs away to Berlin. And it just makes you realise how little we see of that hardcore Jewish community and life on television ever. It's like a secret society. There's one of the episodes covers her wedding at the age of 19, and I just found that absolutely fascinating. I really did. I've never seen such a sort of vivid glimpse into that kind of lifestyle. It's a very clever, interesting drama based on a true story. And apparently there's an interesting documentary afterwards about how they made it. So that's my telly tip. What's your telly tip?
Normal People by Sally Rooney. I've been enjoying that. Have you seen that?
It's got a lot of sex in it.
It has. It's got a lot of sort of first love kind of teenage sex. But beautifully done. Beautifully
And do you enjoy watching the teenage sex or do you just think, get on with it?
A little bit like that now.
A little bit embarrassing.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay.
We've all done that.
A little bit. But it is good.
Apparently,
it's sensitive.
It was really choreographed, that sex. They had a sort of a real expert. I read something, I didn't read it properly, about somebody who was called in to sort of choreograph this kind of, you know, the sex in this programme. But it's getting brilliant reviews. I'll tell you an audiobook I am really enjoying at the moment, though, and that's something called The Royals by Emma Forrester. And I'm not going to go bang on about it now, but you know, because everyone can look it up on online. And basically, it's a story about a very intense 80s teenage relationship between a gay Jewish boy with a violent father and a rich but very neglected 19-year-old Notting Hill princess who meet in hospital. He's been beaten up by his father. She's in hospital after a suicide attempt. And it's one of those very obsessive, needy relationships, and it really captures that zeitgeist brilliantly. So that's my audio book hint.
It's not about Prince Andrew then, you see, which is confusing, but yes. Well, we're worn out now, aren't we? And I'm quite peckish, even though, you know, I mean, it's ages before lunch. It's only 20 past 11, but do you know, it's creeping forward lunches in this house. Creeping forward, quite dangerously.
Oh, no, we're 2 o'clock lunch now.
2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't get up till nine quite a lot of the time,
Judy. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't wait till two. No chance.
So what have you got? What's in the email post this week?
Lots of emails this week. Tell you what is very apparent is lots and lots of people are listening to us on dog walking and running trips out.
Oh, that's nice.
Still haven't got a dog, have we? What's wrong with us?
Not even between us, not even a shared dog.
No, not even. We're way behind. Lots of people sending us emails, and I've noticed that they put their age. You know, like when we used to write into, like they put 51 in brackets and things.
That's brilliant. I think that should be a rule, actually. If you're going to invite us, you must put your age in brackets afterwards.
Yes. There's a lot about social distancing being not adhered to. And a few people, including Jane Thomas in particular, who is trying to do your Sergeant Major voice, Jenny.
Oh, she sent in a clip.
She hasn't sent in a clip. Jane, I think you should send us in a clip. Because she sent us an email which said that she had been practicing it, and she was away to go to the supermarket, and she was going to put it into practice. So Jane Thomas, we need some evidence.
I love this idea. I love the idea of older and wider listeners up and down the country adopting the Sergeant Major in supermarkets around the country when things get a little bit out of hand.
Indeed. Lots of the gang have been making masks, and I have to say they're
excellent.
Rather better than mine. Somebody said that mine look a bit like underpants, and I can see where. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't. I think yours look like they should be in the shop window at Liberty's, Judy.
Except the inside, the stripy bit does look a bit underpant-like. But Carol Curtis has made some out of Orla Keeley material. They're very, very good indeed. Mm-hmm. Someone called Candida says that we're her first podcast, and she's even following us now on Instagram. I think she says the Instagram, by the way, but yeah.
Well, as we are allowed, the Instagram.
Yes, indeed. And Marie Mullins has been enjoying us, but it sounds like she's terribly busy, and she's apparently holding virtual well-being coffee meetings. And Jan Newton is... She's about my age, actually. She's about two days older than me. And she says that...
And that's important, those 2 days. She's loads older than you. She's like an older sister.
Yes. And she says that she joins us with a GNT on Fridays.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's a nice thought, isn't it? A bit like your mum.
And she says that's 7:30 a.m. Because we come out quite early on a Friday morning. Cheers to you, darling. Have a good one. Yes. Well, that's really, really encouraging and lovely to hear. We do really enjoy getting your emails, and we like the fact that you follow us on Instagram, and we are a big middle-aged lady gang here, and I think we've all got lots and lots in common. And, you know, Judith and I send a big virtual hug to you all, and I'm not a hugger, am I, Judith?
No, you're not, but I think you might be in the future. I think you said that, haven't you? Yeah.
Do you think I might get a bit touchy-feely? I might get a bit sort of Sally Rooney. I might sort of start being a bit affectionate on benches all over the place. I don't know. Anyway, listen, we are going to go and write some lists, think about lunch, check out the contents of our fridge.
And
see if anything exciting has come in the post that needs wiping down. And we will love you and leave you. Judith, have a happy week. Stay and well you. And yeah. lots of love.
And to you. And the email address is olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.